Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman, and appreciate you listening to our program today. Ed Battagliano is with me this morning. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
Walker Wildman, in his usual post, perched over there. I don't know. I don't have anything to fill that sentence out with. Perched over there.
Perched. Just the start of that sentence just
okay,
makes me
I'm
going to
say perched over there like a, I don't know, like a pigeon.
That's what I'm saying. No matter what you say after that, it's
perched
over there like a vulture,
like a crow. Like a bald eagle ready to strike. Ready to soar. What are you going to be doing there, Walker? How are you going to be soaring?
I'm going to be perched over here on my fence post, I guess, like a hawk.
Okay. Well, we got hawk, we got pigeon, we got
bald eagle.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, we're Facebook live streaming, so you can watch the show, and you can get all the news stories on Facebook.
Today's issues on live streaming, live video streaming?
That's right, and at 11 o'clock Central, 11 a.m. Central, we will be answering Facebook questions. So if you want to comment on the show feed, you can ask questions. We will answer your questions.
Okay, we're going to do that today.
That's right.
So we've been saying we're going to do this, and some of our viewers on Facebook have been saying, yes, yeah, sure you are.
Yeah. They gave up hope.
They were being very snarky.
Oh.
Yeah.
Nothing's worse than Facebook snark.
Snarkiness.
Right.
Yeah. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. We're doing that today. So an hour from now, in fact, under an hour from now, 58 minutes from now, we're going to be taking your questions about the show or about whatever you want to ask us about.
Yeah.
Whatever. What issues. And Walker's going to be taking the Facebook questions. We're going to take as many as we can. And we'll be doing that now. You going to take those in order?
We have to screen them a little bit.
We'll screen them a little bit.
We're going to set up to where y'all can see the questions, too.
Okay. I'm not going to try to answer questions I'm just unqualified to answer.
Right. I will.
So 98% of questions, I'm just going to go, I don't know.
All right. Well, that's going to be a very entertaining half hour right there, Ed. I guarantee you.
Forward them to another department. Yes. I'm going to transfer you. Just get on the line.
Let me transfer.
You're going to hear elevator music.
Let me transfer you to someone else who's perched in another place.
A different department. Anyway, I was going yesterday. Had to go to Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Somebody had to do it to record some television programs. So I went down there, but it was just a day trip, so I didn't get to go to the beach or anything like that. Didn't enjoy the South Florida experience. It was just 24 hours.
Yeah, so I just went down there to record some television programs.
Yeah, for TBN.
Meet with some famous people,
Nah, no, nobody real famous, no.
But those shows are going to be on TBN at some
point.
Yeah,
I'll tell you when they're going to be on. Ron Ball was the guy who had me on his show, and Ron's been our guest here on this program before, he has a show there on TBN or a sister affiliate of TBN. I'll tell you where it'll be airing when it comes on in case you want to watch me on TV. Okay? Who wouldn't, right? Ed wouldn't. Walker wouldn't. Chris wouldn't. Brent wouldn't.
If you let me know when it'll be on,
you would watch?
I'll watch them, sure. Okay. As long as it doesn't compete with hockey.
It's another week till I get paid, so yes, I'll watch whatever you want me to.
Liars, liars. Pants on fire. All right, Chris, good morning to you. Chris
good morning.
Woodward, filling in for the legendary Fred Jackson,
yes,
who's away today. Fred's been out a lot lately. He's got like a gambling problem? But what's the deal with Fred?
Hold, please.
What?
Hold, please.
Oh, not a gambling problem. He's winning.
Let me connect you with someone who can answer that question.
I have a gambling problem. I don't win.
All right, Chris, take us to the
all
news.
Right. We begin with developing news out of the state of Colorado. There was a shooting last night around 6 p.m. Colorado time in the Denver area at a Walmart. A man just randomly walked into the store, opened fire, shot, and killed three people. He was identified this morning as 47-year-old Scott Ostrom, and in the last 2 hours or so, if it's been that long. Police have made an arrest, and they've identified the man as suspect, 47-year-old Scott Ostrom. I want to read you a comment from a police spokesman. This is someone out of the Thornton area of Colorado near Denver. He says, and I quote, "He walked in very nonchalantly with his hands in the pockets, raised a weapon, and began shooting. Then he turns around and walks out of the store. From what we have right now, it appears to be random." Get this, guys. "It's a crazy world we live in." Certainly so, something
so
we talk about a lot.
So the fella had no motive?
That's what it appears.
As of this point.
Yeah, and certainly they're going to be following up on this. So Rusty Pugh and Steve Jordahl will be on this later today in our newscasts.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see if there's a motive come out, you know.
Well, we can narrow down one motive, and that was to shoot people, kill people.
Yeah, right. Yeah, absolutely.
But beyond that.
Yeah, any more on the jihadi?
Yes.
In New York?
Speaking of motive, this gentleman that is the 29-year-old from Uzbekistan.
Not a gentleman. You need to change that word.
This suspect, excuse me.
There you go.
He remains in custody. He actually had a court appearance yesterday afternoon in court there in New York City. Fox's Tanya J. Powers has more. This is clip two, Brent.
Saifullo Saipov faces terror charges that could bring the death penalty in the truck rampage that killed eight and hurt a dozen more on Halloween. He was brought to court Wednesday in a wheelchair after being shot in the leg by an NYPD officer who stopped the attack. Acting attorney for the Southern District of New York, June Kim, says Saipov had planned the attack for weeks.
He also admitted that he had rented a truck on October 22nd in practice to practice the turns he would make.
Prosecutors say he had asked to display the ISIS flag in his hospital room and says he claims he, quote, felt good about what he had done. In New York City, Tanya J. Powers, Fox News.
Now, in regards to this, President Trump has taken to Twitter to talk about this situation. The president has tweeted his thoughts, his push for this man to be given the death penalty. This is from Fox's John Decker, clip one.
The president writing would love to send the New York City terrorist to Guantanamo, but statistically that process takes much longer than going through the federal system. Also adding there is also something appropriate about keeping him in the home of the horrible crime he committed. Should move fast, he tweeted. The criminal complaint against the 29-year-old Uzbek native alleges he provided authorities with details on how he planned Tuesday's attack for months and his commitment to an ISIS playbook. At the White House, John Decker, Fox News.
Meanwhile, Steve Scalise was on Fox and Friends earlier today, congressman out of Louisiana, and he agrees with the president and says, you know, they need to go and pretty much use the harshest penalty on the book for something like this. Saipov is going to be charged with federal terrorism charges. It looks like there were reports yesterday. He might actually be charged as an enemy combatant as well.
Now, New York does not, I just was looking this up, New York does not have a death penalty except under very rare circumstances, shooting a police officer or correctional facility officer. So he can't get the death penalty in New York, right?
That's my understanding as well. And I guess maybe that's why with the federal charges, there might be a difference there as far as the penalty they might be able to pursue with something like that.
And even then, you don't hear often of terror suspects being convicted with the death penalty. Usually it's life in prison.
Mm-hmm.
Why did this guy do what he did?
He appears to have a fascination, if not a fondness, for ISIS, given his pro-ISIS statements and things of that sort.
Well, what does ISIS believe that makes him agree with him?
Well, ISIS wants to force their radical views of Islam on the rest of society, and New York City is a prime target, unfortunately, for haters like ISIS.
Walker?
Islam teaches that to kill infidels, kill non-believers in the Muslim faith and Muhammad, and so those who adopt Islam's teaching as literal teachings in the book, in the Quran, they do like this gentleman did, and they carry it out. They kill infidels, as many as they can.
Not a gentleman.
Like this guy.
Already told Chris
this guy
that.
Did.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to set the record straight. He's not a gentleman.
Right.
He
overused
that word. But I know what y'all meant. He's a man. Ed?
Well, I think that it's clear that this is a ISIS war against the West. ISIS has encouraged all those who support them, I guess, as the caliphate. Do they want to spread that rule of Islam over the world? And so this individual, not a gentleman, Saifullah Saipov, he even wants to put a ISIS flag over his bed in his hospital, left a note in the vehicle that he drove saying ISIS will live forever. This is a man who supports the goals of ISIS.
Yeah, so let me just say jihad, that is the Islamic teaching that you kill the infidel and you're rewarded by Allah. Mm-hmm. That's the jihadi. That theology, if you will, that's been going on a long time before ISIS ever came on the scene. Now, this guy here, he does identify with ISIS, but ISIS identifies with the jihad idea that I just described, or theology, if you want to call it that. And so that's why he did what he did. Evidently, he did a... So just the reason I'm asking these questions, and we've talked about this before, but we're about the only place, maybe there are a few other media outlets where you will hear this talked about. Sean Hannity covers it on Fox News. But the mainstream media, it's got conspicuous by its absence is the discussion of the motive of these Islamic jihadis. Every other time there's a crime committed or a murderous activity takes place in our country, there is a discussion of the motive. It's common. Right. Am I right?
Right.
Well, look at Las Vegas. Media spent a week trying to figure out
what the motive was.
Right. Okay. Rightfully so.
In Charlottesville, when the young lady was run over by the man in the car, they said the motive is domestic terrorism based on white supremacy. Right. Right. Now, that hasn't been proven yet. Now, the guy who did this was there to support the statue movement there to support the Robert E. Lee. And he did run his car into a group of people, and it killed, unfortunately, this young lady. But then the media came on and said, well, he's attached to a white supremacist movement, right?
Mm-hmm. In other words, it didn't take any time at all for them to assign the motive.
Motive, right. Boom.
Yeah.
You have even something go on... wherever they'll say, you know, a woman was killed in her home. It was a domestic dispute between her boyfriend and her, or whatever. Or, you know, somebody was killed in a drug deal. Well, it was money. That was the motive. When it comes to the jihadis and when Muslim terrorists do these kinds of things, the mainstream media acts like they won't even consider the possibility that it's linked to their religion. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Or if they do, they'll brush it off. They'll say, well, not all Muslims act like this or do these kinds of things or believe these things, which are true, but that doesn't help us understand why this goes on so often and why it's basically a demographic that you can profile. The people freak out when you say profile. But I don't know. It's how old is this? Is this
29?
He's a 29-year-old Muslim man with a beard. They almost always have this beard out because it means they're more devout. Am I right?
That's right.
Now, am I profiling people with beards? No. I'm just saying that almost always these terrorists have these long beards because that's a teaching inside the Muslim faith that you're supposed to have a beard. You know, you're more religious. I can't cite the Surah or the Quran exactly here on this, but it's almost always that demographic of maybe a 21 to 35 year old male within the, you don't find 60 year old men or 55 year old women inside the Muslim faith doing this, but these men from about age 21 to 35, they believe that the teaching of the Quran is that if they can kill infidels, by that non-Muslims, they can kill infidels. They don't have to have a reason other than Allah wants them to murder people. and then they can go to paradise if when they die as a martyr, and that's their only guarantee to heaven, for sure. Otherwise, they may not get there. Right. So you wonder, why do these guys do this? What I've just described to you, I know I get a little windy with this, but that's never, ever, well, not except for maybe a couple of people on Fox News, it's never talked about.
Right.
And but you don't find that in any other crime committed. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think that the liberals in this country, the progressives, which includes the mainstream media, they, for whatever reason, we can speculate on some of the reasons, they do not want all Muslims to be persecuted for the actions of a few, so they actually bend over backwards to not say what is obvious to everyone,
right,
which is what you said. So they their thing is, well, if we say what you just said, Tim Wildman just said, then all Muslims will come under suspicion in this country, and innocent Muslims will suffer for it. So we are going to pretend the emperor has no clothes in order to protect them.
Here's what we're going to have to change if we want to stop this, or at least get towards stopping it. We're going to have to stop presuming that all Muslims are innocent. Because if you read their teachings, their ideology is sick. Their teachings are sick. And their teachings often go against the law of the U.S. and the Constitution.
You mean Sharia versus the constitutional law?
Yeah, the literal teachings of Islam teach murder and domination by force, whether it's over the women or over infidels. And you see that carried out. You go over to Middle Eastern countries.
Right.
It's not the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
People don't have the same rights.
Right.
And it's a free-for-all. That's why you see them fighting each other and killing each other. That's why we have troops over there trying to keep them under wraps. So we're going to – I hate that it has to be like this. And it is true that not all are terrorists,
mm-hmm.
but their teachings teach terrorism. They just don't all abide by the teachings. So
right, in their minds, it's not terrorism. It is obeying Allah.
Right.
I'm just saying, from there, you wonder, well, how can these people kill innocent people?
Mm-hmm.
How do you get a truck? Why do you get a truck and just mow down people you don't even know who are just out riding their bikes, you know, on a nice afternoon in New York City? You don't even know these people. You have no, they've not done anything to you,
right,
to, you know, and the man's not deranged.
Right.
He's not deranged.
He
planned this for a month. So if you're not deranged, you're not mentally ill, and you have no real animus against the individuals you murder, it must be something else.
Yeah, and
to your
it's
point,
just like
it's
just
a teaching.
Yeah, it's like the ideology of Nazism. It's like us saying, well, you know, not all Nazis kill Jews.
Right.
So we need to leave the ones alone that don't kill Jews and just go after the radical ones. But at the end of the day, you look at their ideology, whether they carry out their ideology to the fullest extent or not.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's a very, to me, I know I'm. People disagree with me, and y'all may, it's a very complicated matter. When you start having to have somebody, you start talking about a group of people, which the vast majority of them don't act out on these teachings, and they will tell you that's a misinterpretation.
Right.
Many of them will tell you what these jihadis are doing is a misinterpretation of Islam. Of course,
that's not true, though.
Well, you never have to flesh that out and have a debate on that or have a discussion on that, because the media won't cite the Quranic verses that these people are using to do their actions on. But I would just say, to a more practical point, this is why President Trump's extreme vetting is necessary, and this is why it's very troubling to have federal judges step in and say the President of the United States has no control over immigration policy. We, federal judges in this country, will decide who gets a chance to come in. I don't personally see how you can prohibit Muslims from coming to the U.S. I know some people have argued that, coming to the as visitors or as immigrants.
Yeah,
I'm talking about on a practical level. I don't see how you can do that. What are you going to do if you're going to be in Paris at the Delta counter? Can I see your passport, please? You're from France. You're going to the U.S. You look like a Muslim. Are you a Muslim?
Yeah.
You know you can't go. Can't get on the plane, right? You can't do that.
No.
Okay? That wouldn't work.
Yeah.
But you can do what President Trump is trying to do, and that is say, okay, if countries are going to allow for terrorists or an anti-Christian, anti-American, or jihadi people to train in their country, or we view them as not doing enough to stop it within their own ranks, then we should be able to, as President Trump is trying to do, say, okay, people from these countries cannot come to America until such and such.
Well, and my opinion, the only way this thing will, I don't know if it'll ever end, but heading in that direction, you have got to combat the ideology. You have got to at some
point.
Who has
to combat it?
The United States and the free West.
How about
West.
Muslims?
Well, and Muslims who don't believe in the jihadi, you know, interpretation. You've got to tell, you've got to say to the world, Islam as a religion is wrong. And those who are Muslims, you're not going to heaven, and you're not going to get 70 virgins if you do this. You've got to strike at the root of that. And you know, some people have said, this was back after 9/11 when we were first at war in Iraq, you just got to tell those who are fighting you, we are going to dip the bullets in pig's blood. And so if you die in battle, you go to hell. That the only way that you break the motivation is to break that secure link between what they believe and what they do. If you can't kill everybody who's going to fight against the West, you've got to make them unsure of their eternal fate. I mean, you just have to, like we did with communism, like we did with fascism, you have to say this ideology is wrong. And this, you're not going to be successful doing this. Like we do with white supremacy.
Or any kind of it.
Really, it's wrong. Believe this, it's wrong.
Really, this is Islamic supremacy.
That's what Islam teaches. That's what the word Islam means. It means submit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know what's going to happen ultimately is the CNNs of the world or MSNBCs, they're just going to throw out this guy's, you know, McCarthy reincarnated, or this is the kind of thing we did to this people group back in World War II, and it wasn't right then, it's not right now. They're going to truck some, you know, sad story out there to make people feel bad, to deflect from the conversation that we should be having.
I would be pleased if we would do what you're talking about, Ed. Let's just talk about this out in the open. And let's push the burden on the Muslim leaders in America to not only condemn these acts, which they do sometimes, but also to explain to the public how the teachings of the Quran are being perverted
right
by the Al-Qaeda, by the ISIS, by those. And there is one fella on Fox News. I forgot his name.
Is it Zudi Jasser?
Yeah, he's on there all the time, but, you know, talking about, you know, this. It needs to be explained to the by an imam.
Yep.
You know why? You know, President Trump needs to have a couple, three imams in. And let them say, okay, Americans, we want you to understand the teachings of the Quran that this fella is acting on is not a teaching in Islam, and we reject it. And this verse does not mean what it says.
And young men who are considering.
You're not going to heaven.
You're not going to heaven.
You're not going to paradise.
You're going to the other place.
Yeah, they need to come on. I would have about three or four imams on to talk about that, because that's what they say they believe, that this is not the real teaching of Islam.
Right.
They'll say. All right, so we'll be back in a moment with more of today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. I just wanted to point out all other acts of criminal activity or terrorism, anything. The media is quick to assign a motive and to tell you why people are wrong. When it comes to Islamic jihad, they just, at best, they call it a terrorist, as if this person's acting in a vacuum. We don't know what the motive was when it's so obvious. We'll be back in, we got our Keep Christ in Christmas campaign starting, and we're going to talk about that when we get back.
On the next Today's Issues.
Walker Wildman is handling our Facebook presence in the world.
Yeah, if you have a Facebook account, just type in Today's Issues in your search bar, and then our page will pop up. and you can watch the show there every day, or you can view all the articles that we talk about.
Right, but you can also be our friend.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
Does the changing of the seasons have you thinking about the future? If you're feeling like you can't contribute as you have in the past, maybe we can offer some help. There are many ways to make an end-of-the-year charitable gift. A cash donation comes with the advantage of a tax deduction. Transferring appreciated stock can allow you to avoid capital gains taxes. You could leave a gift through a will or trust by naming AFA as a beneficiary. And a charitable gift annuity provides a deduction for today as well as guaranteed income for life. Let us show you how to maximize your year-end giving for yourself and for AFA. Visit AFAFoundation.net or call 800-326-4543, extension 345. If the economy has you worried about what the future may bring, giving through the AFA Foundation could help. Again, that's AFAFoundation.net or call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
From director Kevin Sorbo and executive producer Sean Hannity comes Let There Be Light. Saul Harkins is a man who has turned away from God, but a near-fatal car crash gives him one last chance to renew his life, his family, and his faith. Let There Be Light, rated PG-13. May be inappropriate for children under 13. Now playing. More information is available at LetThereBeLightMovie.com.
Hi, this is Todd Starnes from Fox News, and one of the things I love about Liberty University is the broad vision they have for their students. Instead of simply preparing them for a career, Liberty helps students grow into mature men and women of character, striving to impact their career fields for Christ. Liberty University is the largest Christian university in the world, offering more than 550 programs of study. Visit liberty.edu to learn more. Again, that's liberty.edu. Ronnie Mitchum is a Marine veteran. He's also a high school football coach in Crosby, Texas. The coach told his team the other day he would not tolerate anyone protesting the national anthem. If you take a knee, you're off the team. That's what he said. The coach explained to the kids that it's wrong to disrespect those who fought and died to give them the right to play football on a Friday night. So when two players decided to defy the coach, he ordered them to take off their uniforms on the field, then kicked them off the team. Coach Mitchum is catching a bit of heat from parents. They say he was insensitive and should have given the kids a pass. Unfortunately, we live in a society where personal responsibility is an archaic concept. One mom said she would never let her son play for the coach. Well, that's too bad, because Ronnie Mitchum is the kind of football coach who can turn undisciplined young boys into upstanding young men. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments at afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Hey, if you want to go watch the show live, you can go to our Today's Issues Facebook page. And don't forget, 30 minutes from now, we're going to be doing something we have not done before on this program, that we're going to be taking questions for Ed, Tim, and Walker. And we'll be doing that live on Facebook.
So yes, so our Facebook, the folks who watch on and listen on Facebook, they oftentimes will write something. Yeah. Now they can ask some questions, and, you know, if we can answer them, we will.
Right. All right, so, by the way, no math, no math problems, please.
Yeah, unless you don't want the right answer.
Don't start your question with if a train leaves Denver.
I agree.
Traveling at 70 miles an hour.
We're not heading east.
We're not going to do that
today.
We
will censor that.
Yeah, we will.
You will not get
out
your free speech.
That's right. Congratulations to the Houston Astros for winning the World Series in seven games over the Los Angeles Dodgers.
That was a crazy series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you watch that 13-12?
I did not. I wish I would have.
I went to bed when it was 7-7.
Like 1 o'clock in the morning?
Well, it was getting late, and then I found out the next morning, watched a few highlights. And
yeah.
Quite a congratulations.
Well, good for the Astros because of, you know, I think they were the nation's sympathy team because of all what happened with the hurricane down there. it's good to see something positive happen to that community, and they'll get to celebrate now. The Houston Astros win the World Series. Okay, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Well, our Keep Christ in Christmas campaign is kicking off. That's our annual campaign here at American Family Association. We want to see the reason for the season, as they say, stay the main thing in our country. And why do we celebrate Christmas? Well, we celebrate Christmas because it's the birth of Jesus Christ. Well, who is Jesus Christ? What does he mean? What does he have to say to the world today? And so where do people go to see our wristbands, Ed?
Well, they can go to AFA.net, AFA.net, and we want to give out free wristbands. So what we're doing is we want to give one free wristband. It's our gift to anyone and everyone. And
free.
For free. So you go
one,
there and
one.
Just one, and you fill out your information. If that's all you want, we'll send you
that
one free. If you want more, they're very reasonably priced. We always call these campaigns wear them and share them. So if you want to hand them out, you want to take them to church and give them out, some small businessmen, small business women, I'm not saying anything about their how tall they are, we're talking about the size of their business, they'll buy, you know, a little box, a little display, and put them out, you know, for customers. Customers can take them. You can buy extras at AFA.net, but we will send you a free wristband, and we do encourage you, if someone says something about it, to share. Let that be an opportunity to talk about Jesus Christ and give your wristband away if you like it.
Well, if you want to see our new wristbands, go to AFA.net. They're AFA.net, AFA.net. It's posted there, and they're really pretty or beautiful, however you want to describe them, attractive wristbands. And so, and they'll get the attention of people as you go out and about in public and give you an opportunity to share the gospel of Christ with them. Well, joining us in studio now is a gentleman who does just that. Pastor Jerry Lawson did devotion for our staff this morning. He's from Ackerman, Mississippi. And what church do you serve, Pastor?
Enon Cumberland Presbyterian Church.
Enon Cumberland Presbyterian Church. Now, the Cumberland Presbyterian Church, that's a denomination, right?
Yes, sir.
Now, mostly in the South, where are the churches?
Yes, sir. Mostly basically in the South.
So you served there, but you were here to share with our staff. Buddy Smith, our senior vice president, was personal friends of yours, and he was brought you here so you could tell how you use the wristband campaign every year, or in the case in the past, our Christmas buttons. And he said you're our best advocate there in Choctaw County, Mississippi, and maybe in the South, maybe in the nation. I don't know. I know that's a lot to live up to.
I know the numbers that he's given away are in the thousands.
Seriously, tell us what attracted you to this annual campaign we do.
Well, 20 years ago, December the 24th, I moved to Ackerman, Mississippi. The Lord led me there, and two people in that church, Marion and Joanne Smith, just became dear saints, dear friends of mine. And they introduced me to their son, Buddy, who worked here at American Family Radio. And in time, American Family Radio would begin to pass out the national motto.
Right.
And so I set it as my goal to put the national motto inside a framed case and put it in every classroom in Choctaw County. So in Ackerman, Ware, French Camp, every classroom in that county had the motto in it. And then I got to look and to see what other things American Family Radio had that I could take and get and pass out in our community. And it wasn't long, the Christmas buttons. That program came out. And, Tim, you know there's been many different kinds of buttons. There's been Easter buttons, Christmas buttons, and God We Trust buttons. And over the years, I've just taken advantage to get all I could get and pass them out.
Tell us a story or two about using those wristbands or buttons. In this case, it's a wristband this year. It's saying, Keep Christ in Christmas. That's the message. It's pretty simple, pretty straightforward, Keep Christ in Christmas. But is there a couple of stories you could share with us on how that's allowed you to witness to people?
I'm very careful when it comes to sharing the gospel. I don't want to offend anybody.
Right.
I don't want to turn anybody off. I don't want to put a roadblock between me and another person. So when I wear that button or that wristband, it breaks the ice and it starts the conversation. I call it permission marketing. When they come to ask me about my button or my wristband or, are you really one of those Christians? Now they've asked me, and now I can begin to share with them my testimony and my witness and what Christ means to me. So it's a very indirect way to get another person to come to me and allow me to witness to them. So I say American Family Radio has enhanced my ministry through these buttons and these wristbands.
A lot of people, you know, tell us, and this happens all the time, somebody will ask them about the button or the wristband, and they will give them an opportunity not only to share about Christ, if that person's open to hearing about Jesus, but also to hand them a wristband themselves. Maybe take it off your own arm, wrist, and hand it to them so they can have it, you know, which is a way to build a bridge, too, right there. So that happens a lot. Just... And the purpose of the message, which is keep Christ in Christmas. You know, I've said before, Christmas is a special holiday in American life and has been forever. So it's a special holiday because our country has a Christian heritage. I know the secular progressives want to reject that and deny that, but there's a reason why December 25th is the only religious holiday that we the federal government shuts down. Mm-hmm. Now, Thanksgiving Day is, too, but is a religious holiday, so it's with Christian roots. But our country has, you know, shuts down to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, not of any other religious leader that I'm aware of in the country. So we've always had a special place in our hearts in America for Christmas. And what the secular progressives have wanted to do is to remove Christ from that. So they changed it. Everything's holiday. There's nothing wrong with the word holiday in and of itself. Or they remove, or they see, you know, they just talk about things where they don't have to talk about Jesus. But this is a great time of year for us as Christians to remind the world this is about a man who really came to earth, who was the Son of God 2,000 years ago. Mm-hmm.
Well, so, there's a couple of things about
Christmas. You can use that as a sermon, Pastor, if you, Jerry, if you're taking notes, Jerry, just use... Use whatever you just said. Yeah.
There are a couple of things that you can use, I think, to kind of link with a person if you're trying to strike up a conversation.
Yeah.
Two things about the Christmas season. One is that sometimes it does seem like people, that you know, that there is joy in the air, and there is something special about that Christmas season.
It's a Christmas vibe out there.
There is. Yeah. The opposite is also true. Some people will say, this is crazy. Everywhere I go, man, it's traffic. And then you can maybe switch the conversation to the peace that Christ can bring in the midst of all the nuttiness. So there's a couple of different ways you can use these wristbands and strike up a conversation and relate to somebody.
Yes. Chris, go ahead.
Well, I've covered the, in my 7 years here, I've covered the naughty or nice list that AFA has done, rating retailers on who says Merry Christmas versus who says Happy Holidays. And praise be to God, over the course of my time here, we've had more people saying Merry Christmas than we had Happy Holidays versus 7, 8, 10 years ago when we started really putting out this list. Does that say to you that we shouldn't just stop and celebrate, or should we continue to endorse the message that we should put Christ in Christmas, that we should keep Christ in Christmas?
Who are you asking?
The pastor.
Okay.
Well, Christmas is a very special time of year. During that time of year, I find people's hearts to be more tender to their fellow man. They tend to be more open and receptive and asking themselves, what can I do to make somebody else's life better? Down there in Choctaw County, I find myself, I just look at, I've told people, you can be a giver and not be a lover, but you can't be a lover of Christ and not be a giver. And I look at these Christmas boxes. I look at all of the things that are going on this time of year. Everywhere I go, people are receiving canned goods for the homeless, those that do not have proper shelter. And that, for God so loved the world, He gave. And I think if the presence of Christ is in you, you're going to give because that's the passion of your life and not because you have to. It's because you need to. You've got to satisfy that passion to love God in return. And Christ established that in my life.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Jerry. Appreciate you being in with us today. Pastor Jerry Lawson from Choctaw County, Mississippi. And what's your church again, brother? What's your church again? In case somebody wants to visit.
Enon Cumberland Presbyterian Churches, but I will say this, there are a lot of godly churches in Choctaw County. All right.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. Talking about our Keep Christ in Christmas wristband campaign, which kicks off today. So you've got a lot of weeks to wear this before now and Christmas. And by the way, we have these in stock already. So right. we're not having to order them. They're in the warehouse, ready to ship out, right?
And if you go to AFA.net, we have a little video there with Kendra White and
Maisie
Pyburn. They're showing you you can actually see the warehouse where these are. They are sitting there waiting for you, folks. So go to AFA.net. You fill out a little something or other, and you'll get your free wristband. It's our gift to you, and we also invite you to order more wristbands at discounted
wear them and share them.
Prices. Share them with your friends, family, or even your entire church.
Yeah, so AFA.net, AFA.net, AFA.net. That's Keep Christ in Christmas. And you might say, well, why does it matter, Tim, whether a store says acknowledges Christmas or not? Well, what we're saying is all this is leading. What this is leading to is a total removal of the Christian heritage of our country. That's what the secular progressives want to do. So if you can take Christ, the word Christ, out of the Christmas season, then you've accomplished something. You've changed something. Fundamentally. And so that's what they are
well,
trying.
Well, 10 years ago when I first saw this, I won't name the retailer because they quickly changed their minds, but they were selling holiday trees. Now who buys? They're Christmas trees. So what would motivate someone to say something, put signs out that ridiculous? Holiday
they changed
trees.
What I'm saying is that's what example of. They changed. Now they're calling it holiday parades or whatever you want to call it. What I'm saying is something that's always been associated with Christmas, and all of a sudden people want to start changing that.
So why do they do that?
Why do they want to
change
it?
They do that because they don't want the name of Jesus Christ out in public.
Right.
And what we're saying is, listen, souls are at stake. So there are Christians who criticize us for this, and they say, you're making a mountain out of a molehill. And my thought is, no, we're not. The name Jesus at this time of the year can draw people.
Yes.
And this is a bad direction to move when you try to strip that away. So
yeah. Also, just curious to me why, there's a reason people say retailers make their money in December, November and December, right?
Their whole year.
A lot of retailers try to stay in business for the first 10 months or so, break even, and then make their profit margin during the holiday season. Well, guess what? There's no holiday shopping. There's really not. Nobody buys gifts for people on Thanksgiving. Kids don't come downstairs at 4 in the morning on New Year's
see
night.
The turkey's ready.
Wanting to know, what's going on. No, we all know people buy gifts because it's Christmas. And so it's just always been curious to me, why would a store not want to acknowledge the very holiday that causes them to be in business? You know what I'm saying? By the way, kudos to Walmart last night. This is just off the top of my head. I did see a Walmart commercial last night where they were acknowledging Christmas. So other companies, I don't have a whole list or nothing. We'll be putting out an Audi and Ice list. But I'm not endorsing everything and all things Walmart. Right. Don't misunderstand me. I'm just telling about this specific issue. They are acknowledging Christmas in their television advertisements. Well, you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Every Thursday that he can join us, Dr. Alex McFarland does join us here on this program. He's the host of Exploring the Word with Brother Bert Harper each afternoon here on American Family Radio. Alex, good morning to you.
Good morning, fellas. How's everything?
Well, what do you think about what we're talking about here, Alex?
Well, you know, I wrote an op-ed back in 09, and I was just thinking I need to bring it out again. I wrote an op-ed called Coming to Grips with the C Word. And, you know, as retailers talk about the holiday season and this very, very ambiguous, you know, the season, quote unquote. You're right. It's Christmas, Christ, the birth of Jesus, the giving of gifts. I mean, think about how many of our most cherished memories as families, as Americans, mm-hmm. reverberate around Christmas. And so 1/6, I read this, Tim, 1/6 of all the retail sales happen basically October to December. I mean, we're talking at Christmas is responsible for 1/6 of the retailer's year. And I think it would behoove them to acknowledge the Christ and the Christmas that gives them their bottom line.
Yeah, amen. You know, imagine the holiday season without Christmas, and then tell me how the retailers do.
Right.
I love Thanksgiving. Yeah. I love New Year's. Yeah. But it's Christmas.
Right.
And it's December 25th that warms the heart.
Yeah, amen. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. What are you and Brother Bert going through right now? What book of the Bible are you studying?
Well, this week it's Alex and Brother Wesley Wildman. And
Bert, I know him.
Yeah, you've heard of him. He's big. And
He still owes me about 20 years of worth of living free at my house.
He's giving you grandkids.
I pay that covers it all.
That does. What are you going to say? I just cornered
you. That covers
that's
it
gonna
all.
That's going to make Christmas that much more special.
He's making you proud. I tell you, he's great. And Bert is on the road this week. And so Wesley and I, we finished up 1 Corinthians. And yesterday we started the book of Jude. Now, Jude is just 24 verses, but it might be small, but it's powerful.
It sure is. You want to feel conviction, you just read the book of Jude or James.
That's for sure.
Why was it so short?
You know, it's interesting. Apparently, Jude was going to write kind of a general letter. He said, I felt the need to write of the common salvation, but instead I've got to address these false teachers. And so, you know, the length it is number one, due to the Holy Spirit's decision of what to tell him to write, but you know, he just says a lot in a little space.
What were the false teachers teaching that was wrong?
Well, you know, basically three things, and we talked about this yesterday, and this is about within the first 5 or 6 verses, but it says, who distort the grace of God, they promote licentiousness, and they deny the deity of Jesus. So think about this, that the false teachers were getting the atonement and the gospel wrong. They were saying that immorality and sin is no longer a problem. And then thirdly, they were denying that Jesus is the Son of God. So the same things we're dealing with today. And let me just say, case in point, and I'm only speaking for Alex here, but Willow Creek Church that just named a female senior pastor. And clearly, you read 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus that are called the pastoral epistles, and God's Word tells us how to do church. And, you know, in the Christian worldview, clearly men and women are equal in their worth and value and personhood, but unique in their function. And Willow Creek is just a very high-profile case in point, but really going with the tides of political correctness and the culture rather than unapologetic fidelity to the Word of God. Mm-hmm. And so in the book of Jude, they were distorting the gospel. They were distorting what God's Word says about morality, church, even the identity of Jesus. And there were some strong words in response to that. And I've got to say, as you know, it was so tragic, the shooting not only in Colorado yesterday, but in New York, the terrorist with the Home Depot truck running over people. I said this when Columbine happened, and I'll say it again, you know, Fort Hood and 9/11 on and on ad infinitum. The unraveling of America will continue until we turn to God. And really since the sexual revolution of the 1960s and then the systematic incremental removal of God, the Ten Commandments, mm-hmm. Roe v. Wade, abortion, the breakdown of the family, you name it. We can continue on this path of death and destruction, or we can turn to God. And the sooner we repent and turn to the Lord, the sooner this nation can begin to see His protection and favor and blessing again.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Alex. This afternoon, you and Wesley will be on at 3:05 Central Time with
Correct.
Exploring the Word, and you're going to continue to go through Jude.
That's right, yes.
Okay. Take care, Alex. God bless you, brother.
Blessings to you all.
Okay. That's Dr. Alex MacFarland. All right, Chris, back to the news.
All right. Certainly another topic we're going to hear a lot about today and tomorrow is the tax bill, tax reform plan from House Republicans. Senate Republicans are going to be a part of this as well. This is their idea to make things better for the middle class, as they call them, but it's going to affect everybody of upper class, middle class, and lower class, depending on your income. Basically, it reduces the amount of brackets we have from 7 to 3, and I've seen reports vary on whether one of those brackets is going to be 12% or 15%. Nonetheless, they're going to basically simplify the tax code, they say. It's going to eliminate some things, do away with what they call corporate or loopholes to benefit the wealthy, gets rid of the death tax, things of that sort.
Loopholes that benefit the wealthy?
Loopholes that benefit the wealthy, as they call them.
Yeah. We better be glad we got the wealthy, or a lot of people be unemployed.
Well.
You know? I mean, I think it's just the envy and greed, I mean, the envy.
Yeah.
The envy and the class warfare that many liberals try to stir up against people because they've been successful is shameful in America. Now, you know, does the Bible speak about greed? Absolutely. It also talks about envy.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just need to be watchful of that. When I hear the soak the rich or pay their fair share, and then I look at like 90% of taxes are paid by 10% of Americans.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Sounds like they're paying their fair share.
Well,
and half of Americans pay no taxes.
Is that right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Americans pay no. But you would think by listening to liberals that the quote wealthy are just getting away with highway robbery.
Yeah,
they're not having to pay anything.
You'd think that the bottom half of the country was paying 90%.
Right.
Of taxes, and the rich are paying nothing.
But you're saying half of Americans pay no federal income tax.
That's right.
Wow.
Yeah. One of the things I'm going to have to check on for our listeners as well, I'll make some calls to Dan the Mancilia about this. There have been concerns that they're going to impact 401ks with this tax reform
plan.
Stay
away.
I'm not sure how they're going to address that, if they've addressed that, and what Paul Ryan and company announced this morning.
I'm seeing the outline of it. It does retain the popular retirement savings options, such as 401ks, individual retirement accounts. It preserves the home mortgage interest deduction for existing mortgages. It increases the standard deduction from $6,350 to $12,000 for individuals.
Does it keep the charitable deduction?
Looking,
I'm sure it does.
I'm looking here.
There has been debate over that in recent years.
Also, continues to allow people to write off the cost of state and local property taxes.
Okay.
And I'm looking for the other there, which you just asked. I don't see it in.
Well,
off
it's
the top.
Probably not even a topic that keeps. But what was the first thing you said it does?
It
keeps something.
Retains the pop. This is the 401k and IRA.
Oh, the 401k. Yeah. Well, the 401k that I participate in, and I'm sure that's the way with everybody, the rules are it's tax deferred.
Yes.
So whenever I retire and take my 401k money out, I'm still going to have to pay federal income tax on it.
Right. But there was talk of limiting the amount you could put in
to
your 401k. I don't know.
Why would the government care how much money you save?
Because it's the government.
Yeah. We'll be back in 5 minutes with more of today's issues on AFR.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.